Let's pray together and we'll just see what God's going to do today. I haven't prepared anything, so who knows where we'll go. All right. That's an interesting way, isn't it? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your voice and to learn from you. We're learning all the time, Father. And we're grateful that your interest in us never ends and that you're here with us right now. And as we quieten our hearts and minds, we invite the Holy Spirit to speak. And we pray, Lord, that you would build an expectancy within our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say. And when we hear it, to receive it. And when we receive it, to respond to it in obedience. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Fooled you, I've got a story anyway, so at least that'll put in a bit of the time. Half an hour to go. Ooh, that's a bit rough. Okay. Oh. Okay, let's go. And it was a good story too. This is a story I picked up recently and I just want to share it with you. A chap, he's in Venice. I've never been to Venice, but it's one of the places I would love to visit. And this is how the story goes. I had taken refuge from the tourist crowds in a quiet canal side cafe. Outside the cafe, there was an old woman kneeling on the hard, ancient paving stones and begging. Steady streams of tourists were walking past her. I haven't got voice problems. It just seems that something's happening with the sign, in case you're worried. Steady streams of tourists were walking past her. A lone young backpacker stood away from the throng, seemingly drinking in the vistas. But I noticed the young traveler was also observing the old woman. She knelt motionless, her head almost touching the ground, a flimsy shawl providing little protection against the cold cobblestones. The woman's vulnerability was especially poignant when contrasted with the visible signs of Venetian wealth, both past and present, around her. A tourist group bustled along the street, glanced at the woman, and walked on. Another group of tourists arrived and walked past the old lady. The backpacker watched as everybody else went on their way, focused on the sights around them. Then, as I prepared to leave, I stopped at the sight of the young backpacker stepping forward and placing some money in the woman's cup. He did this somewhat ostentatiously, just before the arrival of another group of tourists. As I watched, the leader of the group stopped and put some money in the cup. Having been shown the way, the group of tourists followed suit and added some more coins to the woman's cup. The young backpacker repeated this process in front of the next tour party going past. Once again, the subtle peer pressure worked on the tourists, who all added coins to the cup. His work done, the young man walked over to the old beggar woman, patted her on the shoulder, and said, "I hope that helps a little." I don't know if the woman understood his English or realized what had just happened, but I did. I placed some money in the woman's cup and continued my travels, light-hearted after witnessing such an astute act of kindness. I thought that was a lovely story, and in fact, on a few occasions, I have done something similar myself. And it's amazing how other people are affected by what you do when they see you doing it to someone who they would normally walk past. But this is the season of Christmas, isn't it? Celebration of our Savior's birth. And the secular world joins in with us, doesn't it, in celebrating Christmas. On a morning during the working week, I have now taken the privilege, and I've checked with my boss that I can do this, to go across to the plaza and enjoy a quiet cup of coffee reading the newspaper for about half an hour. My boss is a good boss. And now I have been pleased this year to hear, as I've been reading, Christmas carols being played throughout the Dandenong Plaza shopping centre. And indeed we sang O Night Divine, and I was listening to it as it was played right through the centre. And people from every nation in the earth, on the earth, and people from every religious background, irreligious people, were hearing these wonderful words. But Christmas is also the gathering of families on Christmas Day, isn't it? Both Christian, religious, and non-religious families all gather together on Christmas Day to enjoy the Christmas dinner together, to share stories of the past, or to hear new stories. The exchanging of gifts through giving and receiving. In the giving, the joy at the anticipation of surprise by the receiver when they open the gift. In the receiving, the joy at receiving a gift and the expressed appreciation towards the giver. Christmas is a time for all of us to focus on God's amazing gift to the whole of mankind. And I want to read this morning some scripture, and I want you to read it with me. So I have strategically placed in front of you, for those who haven't got it, Bibles. So you're not getting off the hook this morning. I have got some spare ones up the front here for anyone who wants to grab one, because I want you to follow this with me as we read it together. And we're going to read from the book of Romans. And if you're not used to opening your Bible or opening that one, it's page 795. I even checked it out for you. Page 795 in the little Bibles. And it's Romans chapter 3. And we're going to start to read from verse 21. And we're going through to chapter 6, but we're not reading it all. We're just going to flip through various verses. But what I would like you to do this week is to read Romans chapter 3 to 6. Make it your week study this week and read it day after day. It's absolutely wonderful because it highlights God's amazing gift. Starting in verse 21, but now our righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. That's appeasement would be another word for that. Through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Now jump across with me to chapter 5. Keep turning right on your Bible. Chapter 5. And we're starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jumping across to verse 15 in the same chapter. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Now jumping over to chapter 6 and verse 9. I told you we were going to do a bit of reading this morning. Verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. And in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if I say nothing else this morning, that should be enough in itself, shouldn't it? But I have got a few thoughts I'll share with you. This amazing gift God has given us, it's a gift that is solely motivated by the love that God has for us. Totally given out of love and nothing else. Secondly, it's a gift that is an act of his grace. The word grace is a bit of a difficult word to understand because we don't use it very much in our common day language today. But I guess one of the easiest examples, if you are any way aware of the royal family, is the Queen often bestows grace and favor gifts upon various people. And that usually is in the form, we hear, of various apartments in the palaces that she owns. So consequently, the Queen Mother, when she was alive, lived in Clarence House under a grace and favor gift from the Queen. It's totally given by her as her right to dispense it. No one else can give it. And it's by her act of grace that she bestows it on us. And so it is with God. He gives us this gift as an act of his grace for his creation. When I go out to buy gifts for weddings and at Christmas, I don't know about you, but sometimes I do it rather reluctantly. I think I better buy another gift for that person because they might come along and give me a gift and I have to have one to give back to them. That's a terrible way to buy gifts, isn't it? But I guess most of us do those sorts of things. We have a few gifts in the cupboard in case. Or when I go to a wedding I've been invited to and I hardly know anyone there, sometimes I begrudgingly go and I have to buy a gift because you're expected to bring the gift. But God's gift is an act of his grace from him alone, motivated by his love. And it's totally undeserved by us. We don't deserve anything good that he would bestow on us. In fact, we deserve the opposite. So there's no merit in me or you that causes God to either love us or to bestow his grace upon us through this gift. And the gift is the most precious gift he could give to us. It's not just, I'll go and get them a gift because I have to. He gave them his best gift. He gave us his Son. And it's the most complete gift and perfect gift that we could receive. I don't know if you've ever received a gift from anyone that is complete and perfect in every way for you. I doubt it. I'm sure there are many that are very good ones, but this gift of God's Son is complete and perfect for our every need. The gift itself, what does it comprise? It comprises eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Isn't that amazing? The gift is justification for our sins. We are justified despite what we have done and what we deserve. The gift brings justification. We are justified before him despite what we have done ourselves. We are imputed with righteousness. Not only are we justified, but we are declared righteous before him. His righteousness is given to us as well. And there's more. His peace is given to us. A few years ago in Australia, they did a study and they asked people what was the most important thing that they could have. And the answer was from 86% of the population, peace of mind. Meant more to everybody than anything else. And God's peace brings peace of mind and peace of heart. Reconciliation. Gee, it just keeps going on, doesn't it? Reconciliation. Where God not only reconciles us with him, not only is Because reconciliation is more than just forgiveness. It's a restoration of relationship that has broken down. And he reconciles us to himself. And lastly, not totally, there's more in it, but we'll stop here. He gives us his Holy Spirit. In other words, he gives us himself to live within us. And in doing so, he pours his love into our lives, because God is love. The Holy Spirit is love, and he indwells us. So God has given us his best. He hasn't got anything better to give us. He has searched the whole realm of heaven, and this is the best gift that he could come up with for mankind. At our school in Beacon Hills, I say our school because I'm on the board of directors, in year 9 we do a program which is called Personal Best. And the students are given the opportunity to do their best at something that they choose. And it's always interesting to watch them and how proud they are when the day comes that all the parents and the staff and the directors are invited to come and witness their personal best. God has given us his best. The ugly thing that has kept us from him, he has removed our sin. The gift is also infinite in color and variety. On Christmas Eve, we have a tradition at Phillip Island, and we'll do it again this year. We're at 9:30 on Christmas night at the pier. Fireworks are launched, and all the people are on holiday at Phillip Island gather around that pier to watch those fireworks. And the fireworks are all different. Some of them go up in the air and it breaks open and you see these lovely colors. But then you get ones that break open and then they break open again. And they break open again. And the different colors that they are is just spellbinding as you just watch with amazement at the color and variety of the gift. And so it is with the Holy Spirit who indwells us. He bestows more gifts from God in the body of Christ through us. He gives gifts to us, but this time not just for our use, but for the benefit of others, so that others may not only receive, but receive freely from us. And we have those gifts enumerated in the Bible, in Romans, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if you want to read those, there's the gifts of healing and miracles, the gifts of help, of administration, of mercy. All these are gifts, and they are distributed amongst us. Notice they're all different. And just like the fireworks are different, each one of us are different. We're unique as people, but God also uniquely gifts us. And we have different gifts. Sometimes our gifts are the same in certain areas, but each one of us has a combination of gifts that are different from everyone else, so that the body of Christ may be complete. Christmas is also a time for exchanging gifts, isn't it? We get a lot of fun out of receiving the gift, but also we get a lot of fun out of giving the gift. And what I and you can ask is, what gift can I give to God? What gift can I make to him? Have you ever thought that maybe this Christmas, and not only this Christmas, but continually, that you can make a gift back to God. What is your and my best gift that we can give to God? If he's given us his best, surely we would want to give him our best. Romans chapter 6 verse 13 gives us the answer. And if you want to turn back to Romans chapter 6 verse 13, we'll read it together. And it says this: do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. That's what God would like to get from you and me. That is our best gift. It's the gift of ourselves. Paul picks up that same thought again in Romans chapter 12, the well-known passage where he says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. That's what God's looking for as our best gift. He wants us totally and completely, as we are, flawed and all. He doesn't want us perfect because he knows that we're not perfect. But he wants us to give ourselves to him. As we offer ourselves to God and seek to hear his voice and follow him, then the Holy Spirit, indwelling each one of us, is released to demonstrate the glory of God. That is the glorious kingdom of God here on earth. Within us. And the kingdom of God, Paul goes on to say, what is it? It is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Christmas is also a time for rejoicing. Not only do we exchange gifts, but we have lots of rejoicing as the gifts are opened. And certainly on Christmas morning in our home, it's always a noisy affair. Especially now as we've grandchildren, when they come over and presents are ripped open. Paper goes flying everywhere so that Lachlan can rip open and have a look at what he has got from his grandmother and grandfather. It's a time of rejoicing as the gifts are open. The dinner is eaten and we talk and chat and have lots of fun together. The family stories are recounted. We tell stories of years ago when we sat with our parents or grandparents. The funny things that happened, especially at Christmas time. And the people of all ages are blessed in an atmosphere of love and acceptance. Recently, Laurie spoke to me. Oh, before I just come to that, I want to share this. The gift when received causes the right response in us. Romans 5 verse 2 says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God within us. In our lifetime, God's glory in us enables us to rejoice even through sufferings. The gift that we give to God, which is ourselves, causes him to rejoice. Isn't it interesting the scriptures say that God rejoices over us with singing? Also, it says the angels in heaven rejoice over a sinner who repents. It's coming into relationship with God that gives him the greatest cause for rejoicing. Laurie came to me a few weeks ago and he said, I think I've got a word for you. And the word was this. It was a well-known word from Luke 10, where the disciples had been coming back after being sent out in twos to go out and proclaim the kingdom and to heal the sick and raise the dead and do all these wonderful, miraculous things. And they came back really excited. And Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what causes the Father to rejoice. And while the gifts of miracles and deliverance of spirits are absolutely important and part of what God gives us as part of his church, what causes him to rejoice is not the miracles. It's when people come into relationship with him. That's what gives him the cause to rejoice. This amazing gift is not only the perfect gift for you and me, it is also the source of blessing to others. God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And this releases extraordinary acts of kindness and compassion. We heard about this morning as we heard the story of Dan and Liz and what they're going to do. Isn't that an extraordinary act of kindness and compassion towards people in need? Let me tell you the story of Rachel Scott. Who knows Rachel Scott? Put your hand up. A few people know Rachel Scott. Rachel Scott was a young student who went to Columbine High School in the United States. And she was a committed Christian at the young age of, I think, 15 years of age. And she had been preparing herself for some great work that God was going to do in her life. And on a day that she didn't know what was going to happen, she went to school. And on that day, she, along with a number of other students, was killed by an act of extraordinary callousness by two students. But Rachel had a sense of her own destiny. She knew and told her father and wrote in her diary that God was going to use her in an extraordinary way. And she prayed that God would release a chain reaction through acts of kindness and compassion. That was in her diary, and she had written it just a short time before she died. A chain reaction of acts of kindness and compassion. The two boys who did the killings, strangely enough, also had prepared a statement which said that they wanted to release a chain reaction, the actual same words, through violence and killing. What happened with Rachel was, after she had died, her father found that after reading her diaries, that her story was so amazing that he should share it with others. And God prompted him to do that. So he has been going around the United States for the last, I think it was 2002 was the massacre, 7 years, sharing with people Rachel's story. And he recounts that on 7 occasions, he has received separate letters from people, young men, who have been planning to commit a similar massacre to these young students at Columbine. And they had attended the meeting and conference where Darrell Scott, Rachel's father, had been speaking, and it had caused them to come to repentance, to realize what they were doing. Many of them wrote that they had already bought the guns and were preparing for the day that they were going to commit a similar massacre. And so God has used this event of this young woman's life, this seeming tragedy, to already release acts of kindness and compassion towards lots of other people through her own story. This Christmas, I want to ask you and I, is there an extraordinary act of kindness or compassion that the Lord is wanting you or I to do, to make, or to give as a gift to others? I'm not suggesting you stand in front of someone and get mown down in a hail of bullets. But I'm wondering, is that for you perhaps talking to that neighbor who you've walked past time and time again? Is it sitting down beside that person whom you've seen in the shopping center on their own time and time again and just sharing an act of kindness and talking to them? Is it reconciling with someone in a relationship that has broken down and you have been thinking for a long time that this needs to be reconciled? Is it going to a neighbor with a gift just to tell them how much you appreciate them and just offering them a gift and saying, this is just my token of appreciation for who you are as a neighbor? Acts of kindness have tremendous power in what they, in the response that they elicit. Judy, I think, shared when she was speaking about some of the people that we have been working with in Endeavor Ministries, and more her than me. And the thing that we note most, and we were talking about this just yesterday, was the power of acts of kindness that breaks down walls. People find it hard to believe that someone, for no, what's the word for it? For an inexplicable reason, would give something to them or would show an act of kindness. And people respond to acts of kindness more than anything else. And I'm sure you've heard that old saying that sometimes our lives are the only Bibles that anyone will ever read. So we're near at the end, but I thought I'd start it with a story, so we'll finish with another story. So you've probably forgotten most of the things I've said, but I hope you remember about that astute gift, kindness. This is a story from America. We've been to Europe, now we're going to the US. The brand new pastor and his wife, newly assigned to their first ministry to reopen a church in urban Brooklyn, arrived in early October excited about their opportunities. When they saw their church, it was very run down and needed much work. They set a goal to have everything done in time to have their first service on Christmas Eve. They worked hard, repairing the pews, plastering the walls, painting, and on December the 18th were ahead of schedule and just about finished. On December the 19th, a terrible tempest, a driving rainstorm hit the area and lasted 2 days. On the 21st, the pastor went over to the church. His heart sunk when he saw that the roof had leaked, causing a large area of plaster, about 6 feet by 8 feet. I'm not converting that into meters for those who don't know about feet. Ask your mom and dad if you don't know. To fall off the front wall of the sanctuary just behind the pulpit, beginning about head high. The pastor cleaned up the mess on the floor and not knowing what else to do but postpone the Christmas Eve service, headed home. On the way, he noticed that a local business was having a flea market type sale for charity, so he stopped in. One of the items was a beautiful handmade ivory-colored crocheted tablecloth with exquisite work, fine colors, and a cross embroidered right in the center. It was just the right size to cover up the hole in the front wall. He bought it and headed back to the church. By this time, it had started to snow. An older woman running from the opposite direction was trying to catch the bus. She missed it. The pastor invited her to wait in the warm church for the next bus 45 minutes later. She sat in a pew and paid no attention to the pastor while he got a ladder, hangers, etc., to put up the tablecloth as a wall tapestry. The pastor could hardly believe how beautiful it looked, and it covered up the entire problem area. Then he noticed the woman walking down the center of the aisle. Her face was like a sheet. "Pastor," she asked, "where did you get that tablecloth?" The pastor explained. The woman asked him to check the lower right-hand corner to see if the initials EBG were crocheted into it there. They were. These were the initials of the woman, and she had made this tablecloth 35 years before in Austria. The woman could hardly believe it as the pastor told her how he had just gotten the tablecloth. The woman explained that before the war, she and her husband were well-to-do people in Austria. When the Nazis came, she was forced to leave. Her husband was going to follow her the next week. She was captured, sent to prison, and never saw her husband or her home again. The pastor wanted to give her the tablecloth, but she made the pastor keep it for the church. The pastor insisted on driving her home. That was the least he could do. She lived on the other side of Staten Island and was only in Brooklyn for the day for a house cleaning job. What a wonderful service they had that Christmas Eve. The church was almost full. The music and the spirit was great. At the end of the service, the pastor and his wife greeted everyone at the door, and many said that they would return. One older man, whom the pastor recognized from the neighborhood, continued to sit in one of the pews and stare. And the pastor wondered why he wasn't leaving. The man asked him where he had got the tablecloth on the front wall, because it was identical to the one that his wife had made years ago when he lived in Austria before the war. And how could there be two tablecloths so alike? He told the pastor how the Nazis came, how he forced his wife to flee for her safety, and he was supposed to follow her. But he was arrested and put in a concentration camp. He never saw his wife or his home again for all the 35 years in between. The pastor asked him if he would allow him to take him on a little journey. They drove to Staten Island and to the same house where the pastor had taken the woman 3 days earlier. He helped the man climb the 3 flights of stairs to the woman's apartment, knocked on the door, and he saw the greatest Christmas reunion he could ever imagine. Isn't that a wonderful story? And God had a hand in it all, with a pastor who was listening and willing to be used. God wants to give gifts. He has given us his best gift, his absolute best. And I want to ask each one of us, have I accepted that gift? I know many of you have, but I'm asking again, have you accepted it? And the other thing is, God delights when we give him our best gift, which is ourselves. And I ask you the question, will I give him my best gift this Christmas? I just want to conclude. We started with Scripture, and we're going to end with a piece of Scripture. And that is in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and it's in your Bible on page 426 for those who are using the little Bibles. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to get you and I to say this together, so it's not just me. This is one of the most wonderful psalms in the whole Bible. As we know, David seemed to have cottoned on very quickly about God's love and his capacity to forgive. So let's say it together. Has everybody got a Bible? Those who can read, have you got one? No? What about you, Ian? You got yours? Yeah? Well, we're going to read the NIV. So if you've got a different one, I don't know what it's going to sound like. But let's go together, all right? Praise the Lord. Come on. Oh, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Jump to verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. May God bless each one of us this Christmas. And may we recognize that we are recipients of the best gift that ever has been given. And may we also reaffirm to God, if we've already done it, that God, we're giving you our best gift, ourselves. And if we're hesitating or have hesitated on that, we can say it again. Lord, I want to give you, I offer myself. You give me your best. I'm going to give you, as an exchange for your gift, my best in return. As usual, we can pray for you. If you're having trouble with any of those things or struggling, Please make your way over to the mat and we'll pray with you. I'm going to ask Mel to come up and the music team, and they're going to sing one song, which is a fitting conclusion today. So may God bless each one of you today. And don't forget to read Romans 3 to 6 as your homework for the next 5 days. Thank you.